Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Top athletes from Africa, Asia, Europe, North America, the Caribbean, and all over the globe are getting ready for next week's IAAF World Championships in London. The 10-day athletics jamboree begins August 4th and will be staged at the Olympic Stadium, the venue for the track and field events and the opening and closing ceremonies at the 2012 Olympics. Now, this World Championship will be the last for Olympic champions Usain Bolt of Jamaica and Mo Farah of Britain. Bolt is hanging up his track spikes after London 2017, while Farah is leaving the track and moving to the roads, where he plans to compete at the marathon distance. Meanwhile, another Olympic champion, Wade Van Niekerk of South Africa, will be defending his world 400-meter title in London. Van Niekerk won his Olympic gold medal last year after a remarkable race in Rio de Janeiro, where he set a new world record of 43.03 seconds. The 25-year-old South African star looks to be in great shape ahead of the World Championships. 5 days ago, Van Niekerk won the IAAF Diamond League 400-meter race in Monaco in 43.73 seconds. While in Monaco, Wade Van Niekerk said he hopes to be the first person to run 400 meters in under 43 seconds.
I can definitely think of a 42, but I mean, if you think of it, I mean, at the age of 24 last year, running a 43.03, which is so close to running a sub, it's definitely something that we need to aim for. I mean, there's no use me still doing track and field if I'm not going to aim for bettering what I'm doing, and I don't want to bet it by one split. I want to actually do a valid attempt at improving it, so I'd like to believe that I'd eventually get there. I mean, it's bound to happen. I just need to add the right race and have the right conditions and the right perfect moment, and I'm sure it will happen.
Wade Van Niekerk's mother is Odessa Swartz. She was an outstanding runner in her own right during the late 1980s and early 1990s. But because of the apartheid policies in place in South Africa at that time, Odessa was never able to showcase her athletic talents on the international stage. Reporter Haiti Fitzpatrick called Odessa Swartz in Cape Town after her son won the gold medal at last year's Rio Olympics. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to her reaction.
Well, it's still such a surreal feeling. It feels like I'm still dreaming. It's an emotion that I just cannot explain. If you ask me what was going through my mind during the race, I have no idea, because all that I remember is when everything was done, I was standing on someone else's chair, banging on their head and screaming my lungs out. So I can't remember what went through my head at that time.
I had read some things about, you know, you and Wade as I was doing some research, and I came across a story about the complications there were when Wade was born. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, Wade was born at 29 weeks. He weighed just over 1 kg, and when he was born with jaundice, and he had a bit of a blood infection, and they had to do a blood transfusion. And they gave us about 24 hours. They said after the 24 hours, he might have one or the other disability. But the Lord was good, and he's world champion today. He's always been a fighter. I mean, in that first 24 hours of his life, he fought so hard. We've never, ever had problems with him being ill as he grew up as a child. I mean, when he was 18, the first time we had him at the doctor's when he had German measles. And, I mean, we were told in that first 24 hours of his life that he might not make it.
When you think about that and you look at what he has accomplished at such a young age, what goes through your mind?
Just pride, because he's just a never-say-die type of person. I mean, he's always been smaller than his friends at school. He's always been a skinny little boy, but he never stood back for any challenge. I mean, give him any challenge and he would take it, and he'll take you on. I mean, it just makes you proud as a parent when you see that fighting spirit within in him as a person, but also with that strong personality of him. He's also such a soft, gentle-hearted person. So, yeah, it just makes you very proud when I look at him today and just to think that I might have lost him when he was just born.
What does it mean for you, and an accomplished athlete yourself, to see your son go and compete in places that you were denied in the past just because of the time and the politics in South Africa then?
When I look at any person, whether you're South African or no matter where you come from in the world, a lot of us, we don't grab hold of the opportunities that we get in life. And I mean, when I look at him, he's been given this opportunity, he's been given this talent. When I look at him, how hard he works every single day, come winter or summer, come rain or sunshine, he'll be at that track. He'll be in the gym in the morning. We didn't have all those opportunities that they have today. We can't compare ourselves to that now. I mean, like I always tell people, that was a generation that was meant for us, and this is a generation meant for them. I think we were just meant to be the parents of this great generation that's coming through at the moment. And as parents, we can support them in whatever they want to achieve in life at the moment. And I mean, and that's what we're trying to do as parents, because the world is just the oyster at the moment. And I mean, they can either make it or they can break it. It's their choice. He's chosen to make the best of his talents, and he's chosen to give it his all. I mean, he's so committed, and he's just reaping the fruits of him today.
Mrs. Swartz, was there ever a moment in Wade's athletic career where it looked like this could be the end? Was there a moment where things went bad for him, something that he had to overcome?
Oh, yeah, a couple of years ago when he qualified for the London Olympics, he pulled his hamstring. And, I mean, it was a very, very tough phase in his life. He went to rehab, and he worked so hard. And then the hamstring was just very persistent. It just kept on coming back. And, I mean, there was a time when he said, I don't think I want to go on with athletics. I think I'd rather leave it because his hamstring is just not getting better. And then someone like your tiny aunt walked into his life and decided, let's then move on to a 400-meter program and let's just completely heal this hamstring. And, I mean, see how things have changed for him. And he was about to give up because he was just sick inside of his hammy that's just not getting better.
Knowing his talent, and you've had a front row seat to what it has taken to help get Wade to the top where he is now, what are your hopes for him for the future? If you had one piece of advice for him, what would that be?
That he never stops dreaming, because he's such a big dreamer, and because he's such a big dreamer, he works towards those dreams, and he's a person that will make his dreams a reality. So I would just tell him never to stop dreaming and never stop achieving.
Never stop dreaming and never stop achieving. That's Odessa Swartz, the mother of South Africa's Olympic and world champion runner, Wade Van Niekerk. She was talking with reporter Haiti Fitzpatrick from Cape Town. And that interview originally aired last year on the Sunny Side of Sports. Elsewhere, Athletic South Africa says Olympic 800-meter champion Caster Semenya will compete in three events at the World Championships in London: the 800 meters, the 1500 meters, and the 4x400 meters team relay. At the 2016 African Championships in Durban, South Africa, Semenya won gold in all three events. In addition to winning her first Olympic gold medal last year in Rio de Janeiro, the 26-year-old Semenya won a silver medal at the 2012 London Olympics. She'll be aiming for her third world 800 meters title in London after winning gold at Berlin 2009 and Daegu 2011. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When we keep on sunny side of life.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, Bam-Bam-Bam-Zip. D.C.
Voice of America.
Washington area, Barcelona will meet Manchester United later Wednesday night in a marquee match between two of the world's most famous football clubs. The game at FedEx Field is part of a series of exhibitions helping European clubs prepare for their league seasons. Barcelona last played at FedEx Field in 2015 when it met Chelsea in another exhibition match before nearly 79,000 fans. Another big crowd is expected tonight, and I know the fans are hoping to see Barca stars Lionel Messi, Neymar, and Luis Suarez in action. It's not clear how much the talented trio will play, though, especially with transfer rumors still swirling around Brazilian star Neymar, who has been linked to Paris Saint-Germain. An estimated 7,000 fans gathered at FedEx Field Tuesday night to watch Barcelona practice. Barca began its U.S. tour on Saturday when it beat the Italian club Juventus 2-1 at MetLife Stadium near New York City. For its part, Manchester United is coming off a 2-1 penalty kick exhibition victory over Spain's Real Madrid at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. At the same stadium in Santa Clara later Wednesday night, the USA will host Jamaica in the CONCACAF Gold Cup football final. The Americans are aiming for their sixth Gold Cup trophy, while the Reggae Boys of Jamaica are bidding for their first. In the semifinals, the Reggae Boys upset defending Gold Cup champion Mexico 1-0, while the USA defeated Costa Rica 2-0. Josie Altidore and Clint Dempsey scored second-half goals for the United States. It was Dempsey's 57th career goal, record-tying for the USA. And afterwards, Altidore had this to say.
I said it before, I've played with Clint a long time. I've been through a lot with him. Good, bad, and to see his ovation when he came in the game, you felt a little something special was going to happen. And I'm pleased for him. He's a guy that works really hard. He deserves everything he gets, and I look forward to him breaking the record.
Meanwhile, the USA's head coach, Bruce Arena, is also impressed with Clint Dempsey's goal-scoring record.
That's a fabulous record for any player to have with his national team, and for Clint to tie the record held by Landon, who is such a well-known figure in the history of U.S. soccer, is tremendous. And I know it was something that was important to Clint, and to score that goal in a big game, I'm sure makes it even more special for him.
Bruce Arena was named head coach of the USA for a second time last November when he replaced Jurgen Klinsmann. Since then, the Americans have been on a 13-match unbeaten streak, posting 8 victories and 5 draws and outscoring opponents 25-7. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOASunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOASunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. In pro boxing, next month's big Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight will be shown at select movie theaters here in the United States. Ticket prices at the movie theater are expected to be about $40 per adult. That's less than half the price if you want to watch it on pay-per-view. That will be almost $100 to view in high definition. So I think the movie theaters might be doing a brisk business for Mayweather-McGregor on August 26th. Floyd Mayweather is coming out of retirement for this big boxing match in Las Vegas. He's aiming for his 50th victory. The mixed martial artist Conor McGregor from Ireland, he's going to be in his first professional prize fight. Got to go with Floyd Mayweather to win that one. Joining us now on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Andrew, Mayweather McGregor, they just keep trending.
They keep trending and they keep making money. Another opportunity for them to sell seats in those movie theaters. A lot of fans reacting to that, saying they're excited to go to the movie theater. They think it's actually going to be more fun to go to the movies and watch this than sit at home. You'll be more of a party atmosphere. Could get a little rowdy there in some of those theaters. They might have to police some of that. But now lots of trending items on Mayweather and McGregor. I mean, they've consistently remained in social media. The two of them very active on social media. We have Conor McGregor just tweeting at the haters within the past 12 hours saying, "You're all going to eat your words for the rest of your days while I'll eat lobster for the rest of mine." So he's facing off against the haters. There's word that Floyd Mayweather may bring Nate Diaz as a guest. Of course, Nate Diaz is Conor McGregor's big mixed martial arts partner, sparring competitor. So a lot of gamesmanship going on, and this digital element has only added to that. It just gives him more of a voice to talk about these things.
And it's good to keep in mind, this is not even a world title fight, as far as I can tell. It's just a big curiosity factor.
It's a big money maker too, and I think that's why. I think these guys are set for a big payday, and I think this fight is going to generate a lot of money. And I don't think this is the last kind of fight like this we're going to see. I think we're going to see more of this kind of fight crossing over into mixed martial arts, crossing over into maybe different fighting genres, because it has clearly attracted a lot of people, and I think it's going to attract a lot of their dollars.
Andrew, let's turn our attention to tennis. I understand you had a up-close and personal encounter with a Wimbledon finalist.
I did indeed. Last night at the Washington Castles match, of course, they're one of the world team tennis teams playing here in Washington, D.C., I had the privilege to meet Venus Williams, 7-time Grand Slam singles champion, Wimbledon finalist. one of the greatest tennis players ever. So it's quite nice to meet with Venus, although a brief encounter, kind of shuffled through, take the picture, shuffle on through after that. But Venus was, the first thing I told you when we talked about this earlier, Venus is tall, taller than she looks on television. I think I would venture to say she's around your height, Sonny, and you're pretty well up there in terms of the height department. But she is an amazing player, very soft-spoken. That's her reputation in the press conferences and off the court. And she was just a lovely person to meet last night.
Is she still getting a lot of questions, Andrew, about Wimbledon, or is she turning her attention now to the U.S. Open?
You know, I think she's focusing on the calendar going forward, and not just the U.S. Open, but the U.S. hard court season that's coming up. We have the City Open right here in Washington coming up next week, and then tournaments in Toronto, Cincinnati. So lots in the U.S. and Canada going on in tennis in the next few weeks and months. So I think she's focused on that. She's always done well on the hard court, so we'll see if she can capitalize on this season and move up the ranks. She's already back in the top 10 at the age of 37, and she's shooting for number one, more titles and more accolades to go with her already great resume.
Andrew, you mentioned the City Open. Looking ahead to next week, I understand you lined up an interview with one of the pioneers, not just with that tournament, but in professional tennis, Donald Dell. So we can look forward to hearing from him next week.
Yeah, we talk about a whole bunch of different stuff. We talk about the City Open, of course. He was the founder of that tournament, but he's also one of the founders of the ATP, the Association of Tennis Professionals, which is the body that governs men's tennis. So someone who has really put his mark on tennis as a sport. And we talk about popularity of tennis in the U.S., why it's not as popular as it once was, the Williams sisters, a whole bunch of stuff that we talk about. So it's going to be a good series.
Donald Dell next week on the Sunny Side of Sports. What else is trending in the tennis world, Andrew?
Well, a big announcement from one of the greats of tennis, 12-time Grand Slam singles champion Novak Djokovic, announcing that he is out for the rest of the 2017 season. Of course, in the semifinal match at Wimbledon, he had to pull out of that match with an elbow injury. And he says in a Facebook Live video that due to that elbow injury, he needs to take the time to recover and rest. It's nothing that has a quick fix. So that's his decision to take the rest of 2017 off. Talks about how he's going to become a father again in about a month, month and a half. His wife, Yelena, is expecting. So he said that maybe this is, you know, a blessing in disguise. He gets to spend time with her as they have another child and gets to stay at home and work on that. But another big announcement in this Facebook Live video, he announces that Andre Agassi, who was his coach this year, came on for the French Open, will be staying on next year. So filling a more permanent role as coach for Novak Djokovic, the great Andre Agassi. This Facebook Live video, Sonny, got viewed more than 550,000 times in just 3 hours. So that gives you some indication of how much interest there is with Novak Djokovic and with his health. Lots of questions, though, about whether this is strictly physical or also mental. We've talked on the show before about in the past year how he's struggled on the tennis court, losing early in some of the big tournaments. So lots of questions about maybe he needs a mental break as well. But the stats, two stats in particular, pretty amazing. First is that this is the first Grand Slam that Djokovic will miss ever in his career. He's played 51 straight since his major debut at the 2005 Australian Open. And so when he misses the U.S. Open in August and September, it'll be the first time he's missing a Grand Slam tournament ever. And the date. A lot of people talking about the date that he made this announcement. Today is July 26, 2017. Novak makes that announcement. What happened 1 year ago today, July 26, 2016, Roger Federer announced that he was out for the rest of the 2016 season. So a lot of people looking at that date saying maybe this wasn't a coincidence that he made this on the same day as Roger's announcement. And maybe he's hoping to have that same luck that Roger had because he came back, won the Australian Open, won Wimbledon. He's having a banner year. So maybe Novak's hoping for the same.
Little break, maybe in order for the Joker.
Might not be such a bad thing.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the July 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
In another sign of the United States' determination to help the nations of Africa combat terrorism, millions of dollars in rewards are being offered for information on several top leaders of the Al-Qaeda-linked Somalia-based terrorist organization Harakat Shabab al-Mujahideen, or Al-Shabaab. The group, listed as a foreign terrorist organization since 2008, is battling that nation's government for control of Somalia and has also carried out a string of attacks in Kenya, most recently at a college in the town of Garissa. It is responsible for the deaths of thousands of Somali civilians, peace activists, international aid workers, journalists, and civilians, as well as African Union peacekeepers who are helping to restore stability and prosperity to the region. Tens of thousands of people have been forced to flee their homes amid the fighting. Under the terrorist designation, the United States imposed financial and other restrictions on the group, blocking property and prohibiting U.S. persons from engaging in transactions with its members. Now the U.S. is offering rewards for information leading to the location of six of its leaders. Rewards of up to $5 million each are offered for information on the location of Ibrahim Haji Jama, also known as Abu Zalma, Fuad Mohammed Khalaf, a dual Somali and Swedish national, also known as Fuad Shungala, Bashir Mohammed Mahmoud, an al-Shabaab military commander believed to have been born between 1979 and 1982, and Mukhtar Robo, a 43-year-old who has served as an al-Shabaab spokesman and who carries an Eritrean passport. Rewards of up to $3 million each are offered for information on the location of two additional al-Shabaab leaders, Abdullahi Yare and the group's intelligence chief, Zakaria Ismail Ahmed Hersi, also known as Zaki Madobi. The United States guarantees all credible reports will be investigated, and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them. If you have information on any of these men, contact the Regional Security Office at the nearest U.S. Embassy and the tip line at www.rewardsforjustice.net or email information to rfj@state.gov.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss Rwanda's August 4th presidential election. Incumbent Paul Kagame is widely expected to win another term. The amended constitution allows him to remain in power until 2034 if he pursues it. A preview of Rwanda's presidential election.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA. To our audience on VOA's FM in Accra, Ghana. We are happy to announce that VOA's FM station 98.1 is back on the air with all your favorite news and programs. Tune in every day, 24/7. You can also listen to VOA's radio programs on shortwaves, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are online at voanews.com.
VOA. Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.